Thank you, David. Appreciate that very good prayer that you led us in a few moments ago. Appreciate Max leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. Appreciate that very good reading from the scripture that Steve just gave for us there from 2 Peter chapter 1. And did you notice that Steve was reading that for us? Did you notice whom Peter addressed that epistle to? Did you catch that there in verse 1? You see there in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that the Apostle Peter addressed this epistle to those who have attained like precious faith. Simply put, Peter is acknowledging that his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ have a faith that is equal to his and the other apostles. And he's expressing that all who are in Christ have a faith of the same kind, a faith of the same value. That's what Peter means when he's talking about like precious faith. He's talking about a faith that is the same kind, of the same value. Now, have you ever considered that we as Christians have a like precious faith? Have you ever considered that before? You see, God's children do have a like precious faith. And knowing that, I want to take just a few moments to discuss our like precious faith with you this afternoon. And I begin by informing us that our like precious faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God. We learn there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. To be simply put, the Apostle Paul is informing us of the fact that the source of our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You see, it is the hearing of the Word of God that produces our like precious faith. We've all obtained our like precious faith in the same way, haven't we? We've all obtained our like precious faith in that it was produced through the preaching of God's Word, through the hearing of the Word of God. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, not only that our like precious faith comes by the hearing of the Word of God, but also the fact that our like precious faith is Christ-centered. You see, we learn that our like precious faith, it's centered around Jesus Christ. And when I think about that, I can't help but to think about the words of John recorded there in John chapter 20. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to John chapter 20. And notice these words of John here, beginning in verse number 30. There John writes, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." But verse 31 says, "But these are written." Why, John? Well, notice, "that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Did you catch that? You see, John informed there that the things that he written in his gospel were written to produce faith where? In Jesus Christ. He said, "These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And he goes on to tell us that the goal to be achieved is what? Eternal life. That we may have life. That is eternal life. You see, when I think about our like precious faith being Christ-centered, I can't help but to think about the preaching of the apostles and the early disciples as we learn about there in Acts, the book of Acts that we're studying right now in our adult study. Think about what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. What did he preach to those Jews that produced faith in them? Christ Jesus. You think about Philip, the evangelist. What did he preach to those Samaritans that produced faith in them? Jesus Christ. What did he preach to the Ethiopian eunuch? Jesus Christ. You think about the Apostle Paul. What was he preaching and declaring as he went about on his preaching journeys? Jesus Christ. There's a reason for that, isn't there? There's a reason for that because it is through Jesus Christ that our victory is obtained. Our victory, our goal of life eternal is obtained through Jesus Christ. And that is why our like precious faith is Christ-centered. To further emphasize that, I take us there to 1 John chapter 5. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 John, the 5th chapter. And here in 1 John chapter 5, notice with me, beginning there in verse 1, these words of John. He says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him." He says in verse 2, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." He says in verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." You see that? He says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, we learn here that our victory is through our Christ-centered faith. We go on to see, fast forwarding down there to verse 10 of 1 John 5. He said, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believe the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony." What is that? That God has given us eternal life. And this life is where? In his Son. That being Jesus the Christ. He said, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Now notice this, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." What did you write to us who believe in Jesus Christ, John? He says, "That you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Again, our like precious faith is Christ-centered. And the objective to be achieved is eternal life. But I also suggest to us, in regard to our like precious faith, the fact that our like precious faith is but one. Did you know that? Did you know that our like precious faith is but one? You see, the Bible never speaks of a different faith, but rather the Bible speaks about one faith. Not different faiths, but only one faith. We learn about this in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. Go there with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, notice with me, beginning there in verse number 4. There the apostle penned, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord," now watch it, "one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Did you catch that in verse 5? How many faiths did the apostle declare there was? Just one. Just one. There is only one faith. Only one like precious faith. And when you think about that, we think about what Paul declared there in Galatians chapter 1 in regard to the fact that there's how many gospels? Just one. There is only one gospel of Christ. And our like precious faith is united in belief in that one and only one gospel of Jesus Christ. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, the fact that our like precious faith will triumph in times of trouble. I don't know about you, but I take great assurance in the fact of knowing that our faith will help us triumph in times of trouble. And when I think about that, I'm reminded of these words of Paul found recorded for us there in Romans, the 5th chapter. And notice with me, beginning here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, these words of Paul. He said, "Therefore, having been justified by what? Faith." He says, "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Well, how can that be? How can we glory in tribulations? Well, he tells us, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Think about that. You see, brethren, with the confident realization that we have been justified by our obedient, like precious faith, we can be assured that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because of that, as we learned here in Romans chapter 5, that we can even rejoice in tribulation. You see, it's because that we've been justified by our like precious faith, by faith. Because of that, that we have access, he says, access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's because of that that Paul says in verse 3 that we also glory in tribulations. You see, when one embraces a proper attitude, realizing what their like precious faith, what has been achieved by that, the fact that we've been justified by it, the fact that we have access by this faith into grace. And when we have that proper attitude, tribulation, when it comes our way, it's going to produce some positive qualities, isn't it? Did you catch that in verse 4? What are some of those positive qualities that Paul said that this is going to produce? He said perseverance. That's talking about endurance. But he also says there the fact that it would also produce character, and character hope. And he goes on to tell us in verse 5 that this hope that you and I have, brethren, this hope that we have obtained in our like precious faith, it doesn't disappoint, does it? It doesn't disappoint. And it is because of that that we can glory in tribulation. It is because of that we can rejoice in tribulation. It's because of that we can have that endurance to triumph in times of trouble, holding on to the fact that our like precious faith will help us triumph in times of trouble, because our hope, that hope, by the way, that hope of eternal life, it's not wishful thinking, is it? But rather, it's a confident desire and expectation. And Paul says that hope, it does not disappoint. But I also suggest to us this afternoon the fact that our like precious faith is that which overcomes the world. I appreciate Max leading us in that song a few moments ago, Faith is the Victory. I appreciate that very much. That helps set the stage for our study this afternoon, didn't it? Reminding us of the fact that as we learned there in 1 John chapter 5, that it is our faith that does overcome the world. Let's go back there to 1 John chapter 5 for a moment. And going back there again, there in 1 John 5 and verse 4. John said, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world." What was that? Our faith. Our faith. Again, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We sing it, but do we understand it? Do we remember it when times of temptation and times of tribulation come upon us? Do we stand fast in our faith, being mindful that it is our faith that is the victory that has overcomes the world? You see, we need to be mindful of that, brethren. We need to be mindful that faith is the victory that overcomes the world, because it is our faith, our like precious faith, that enables us to resist temptation in times when we are tempted. It is our like precious faith that helps us and avoid entangling and getting caught up in the affairs of this world. It is our like precious faith that helps us to reject error. You see, that's how our like precious faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Because it keeps us grounded. It keeps us grounded in Christ and where we need to be. And as we talked about, victory. Victory's where? In Christ. And that's how our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But I also suggest to us this afternoon, the fact that our like precious faith will lead to a crown of life if we remain obedient unto death. You see, there are going to be times when we're going to face persecution. There's going to be times when the going's going to get tough for us as a Christian. But we need to be mindful, brethren, of the fact that if we continue to keep on keeping on, if we continue to remain obedient unto death, that our faith, it will lead us to obtaining a crown of life. When I think about that, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And there Jesus is addressing the persecuted church. But what did he say to them in that latter part there of verse 10 of chapter 2? Be thou what? Faithful. Unto what? Death. And what? I will give thee. What? A crown of life. You see, simply put, Jesus was telling them, even if you have to die, don't surrender your faith. Remain obedient unto death, Jesus said. And I'll give you a crown of life. We need to be reminded of that, brethren, as we think about our like precious faith. The need to remember to never surrender our faith, even if we have to die. Never surrender your faith, knowing that our like precious faith will someday lead to a crown of life if we remain obedient to the Lord unto death. My beloved brethren, may we all be united in our like precious faith, which is obtained through the hearing of God's word, which is Christ-centered, which is but one, which triumphs in the times of trouble, which overcomes the world, and which will lead to eternal life. If we remain steadfast and faithful unto death. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who does believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God. But you haven't submitted yourself in obedience to Him and His will. We encourage you to do that this very hour. For you have heard the Word of God. And as we discussed here this afternoon, it is by the hearing of the Word of God that faith is produced. And if you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son, the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ before men. And you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope that we talked about. That hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you haven't been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from the faith. Where you encourage you to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. We encourage you to repent of your sins, confess them to God, and to once again be steadfast in the faith. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with you. So if there would be one here this afternoon, he'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song that Max has selected.